John chapter 1, verse 38. Evanghelia după Ioan, capitolul 1, versetul 38. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" Amen. What do you seek? A very wealthy company put out a job search for a top position, and candidates were chosen based on their background and skills and education, and the top candidates were invited in for an interview, and they were asked one question, just one question. One by one, each of them had various answers to this question, but it is one question. And the question was, why are you the best person for the job? Those of you who have been in interviews before have heard this question. Why are you the best person for this position? So everyone had their script prepared, and they had a lot of things that they wanted to say about themselves, and they were selling themselves. One of them was talking about his education and his experience, the many roles he's had in various companies, and one by one, they all tried to do their best to position themselves to be the best candidate and to lift themselves up in front of the interviewers. One of the candidates, when she was asked this question, stopped for a second and said, she was asked, "Why are you the best person for this position?" So she stopped and said, "I'm going to answer this with a question. What is the ideal person that you're looking for?" Caught off guard, the interviewer basically gave her the job on a plate and explained to her the kind of person they were looking for. She stopped and she said, "I am that person." So guess who got the job? Sometimes we know a person more by the questions they ask than the answers they give. And in the last few weeks, I've been fascinated by the questions of Jesus. We're trying to always find the heart of Jesus and looking for who Jesus really is, clues from our life, clues from the Gospels, and oftentimes we overlook the questions that Jesus asks. There are over 100 questions in the Gospels that Jesus asks. And today I'm going to talk about the Jesus question. The Jesus question. We're not going to go over 100 questions, but I would like to look at three of these questions that are very important for revealing the heart of Jesus and who he is. The first question we're looking at in John 1:38, what do you seek? Jesus is asking, what are you looking for? The first question Jesus asks does not address our sins, failures, or infidelity. It's not accusatory or hostile at all. It's a question rooted in compassion and love, calling upon our deepest desires. What do you want? What are you searching for? What are you looking for? John's gospel begins with John the Baptist telling two of his disciples that Jesus is the Messiah. Just in case you're interested in reading before. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world," pointing to Jesus. The two disciples immediately begin following Jesus. When he notices the two, he turns around, looks them in the eye, and asks, "What are you looking for?" He doesn't reject them. From the start, he's interested in them. He draws them out. He gets to articulate their hopes and dreams. He wants to listen to them. This is the heart of Jesus. What are you looking for? Is the question. Immediately, the disciples think that this is somehow like a material question, right? So they follow it up with a question. And you know what they ask? where do you live? As if somehow, I don't know if we could modernize this text a little bit, take us to your house. You know, let's check out your digs. Let's see where you live. You know, like, show me where your house is so I can see the kind of person you are. You know, take me to your neighborhood. You know, I want to see the this is a two-story house, it's 6,000 square feet. Do you have a three-car garage, Jesus? Where do you live? And Jesus says, come and see. It's an interesting question, and it's an interesting dialogue, because what they're gonna get what they're not expecting, right? They'll get more than they expected with Jesus. But we live in a world where searching and looking is part of our daily life. And thanks to Google and Facebook, those searches and those looking for stuff has become at a whim, at the click of a button, right? We are always looking for stuff. We can Google stuff, right? We can look for each other on Google. We can find out what we're doing on Facebook. You don't have to ask people here at church where they went last weekend, because you can look on their Facebook page and you can check out their photos and you know where they went last weekend. Okay? Some of you find out where people are hanging out, what they're doing, and you already know, and you have a fix in your mind. We live in this kind of interesting ecosystem where things are happening outside of real time, right? In this kind of digital universe where people are doing stuff, and we can search and we can look. We can search for careers. We can search for girlfriends and boyfriends online. We can search for answers. We can search for cures. We can search for phone numbers, information. If we're willing to pay money, you can even dig up somebody dirt on people and find out their background and what if they have a criminal history or their credit record or anything. We can search. We can keep looking, right? And it's a world that is hungry for searching and looking all the time, and we're never satisfied. And Jesus stops and says, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? It's a Jesus question. Every time you are in the middle of a search, whether it's looking for a job or looking for something, and you hear this question, what are you looking for? Know that it's a Jesus question. It's classic Jesus. He's asking you what you're seeking. What do you want? What do you want out of life? Do you want riches? Do you want fame? A lot of times what we want and what we need are in conflict with one another, are not one and the same. So Jesus is often asking us, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? But his question is not one of condemnation and accusatory or hostile. Like, what do you want? What are you looking for? Or what are you looking at? He wants to invite you. He's inviting you, so that maybe you can change your question, and instead of what are you looking for, it could be who you are looking for, and you're looking for him. Are you looking for Jesus? See, a lot of times if we look for Jesus, even in the places that we're searching for meaning and answers, if we're looking for him, we have a better chance of getting what we want. And maybe we won't get what we want, but we'll get what we need, right? You don't always get what you want. What is that famous song? Some people here know that. But every now and then you get what you need, right? And we all need Jesus. And he's asking us tonight, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? The second Jesus question we're looking at is the most frequently asked of Jesus. It's first found in Matthew 20, 32. We're going to look at some examples. And then Mark 10:36 and Luke 18:41. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It's the most beautiful of Jesus' questions, is it not? What do you want me to do for you? In Matthew's account, in 20:32, the mother of James and John approaches Jesus. She bows down in homage before him. And Jesus asks her, what do you want me to do for you? What do you wish? In Mark's version, James and John themselves approach Jesus boldly and says, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Whatever we ask, right? And what do they want? What do they want? They want one on the right, one on the left, right? To be in heaven, to get some kind of special treatment there. Their selfishness doesn't even faze Jesus. And instead, he asks them, what do you want me to do for you? As if they needed to go a little extra. They didn't ask the right question. What do you want me to do for you? He asked them. They want to be in control, to dominate, to be God, basically. And Jesus says that that position is not mine to give. But Mark's Jesus keeps asking the question. And if we go further, there's in another scene just following that, there's a blind man, Bartimaeus, calling to Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Have pity on me. Against the disciples' protests, Jesus calls him over. And immediately, what does he do? He throws his cloak away, which probably had all of his money, and probably the only thing that he ever owned, right, as a beggar. Throws it, goes down to Jesus' feet, runs up to meet Jesus. And Jesus looks at the poor man and says, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see, Bartimaeus' response. I want to see. Go your way, your faith has saved you, Jesus responds. Jesus, his sight, of course, is returned, restored to him, and Bartimaeus begins to follow Jesus on the way. And Luke tells the same story, almost the same exact account. Look at the difference between the approaches. It's the same question of Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? But it's in response to different requests, right? The first one is filled with selfishness, right? And then the second one, we see a poor man, a beggar, coming to Jesus. And which one of these two gets the answer? Which one of these two gets what they've asked? The blind man, right? When just before that, a rich man, the Bible tells us of a rich man that comes to Jesus and asks, what does it take to get to heaven? And Jesus invites him to sell all of his riches. And then the rich man leaves upset because he didn't get the answer he wanted. But even then, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him as he invited him on this discipleship journey. See, Jesus is full of love. Even when you ask him the wrong questions of what you need, right, and what you think you want, what you desire, what you need, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? He still looks at you with love and understanding. He doesn't reprimand you for asking the wrong things or slap your hand away or like we often do to our kids when they ask for an in and out at 11 o'clock at night with a shake and we, you know, when we go out of church, they want us to stop on Brookhurst over here at in and out all the time, right? Because they're hungry. The church gets them really hungry. And we often tell them, oh, it's so bad for you, right? But we sometimes come back to that scripture that if a child asks for a cup of water and you give them a serpent, or they get us with that all the time. So the blind beggar shows us the proper disposition before Christ, what we should be like. We too are poor, blind beggars sometimes, and we need to just realize that we need Jesus. See, a lot of times we feel like we're in a position of privilege, that we're close to Jesus, and this happens to a lot of us who grew up in church and who live in church. Because we feel like we're close to Jesus, we feel like somehow we're entitled to ask God for anything and not to come with the right attitude, right? We need to call on Christ to have pity on us. When was the last time you asked Jesus to have pity on you, to have pity on your family? To have mercy on your family, to have, this is the right attitude. And then Jesus will answer, you will hear his question, what do you want me to do for you? This is an amazing, open, beautiful question that Jesus asks. What do you want me to do for you? It's like coming up to the Lord who has heaven and earth, who has everything at his disposal and can grant you your heart's desire. God's desire is to help us. It's beautiful because it shows the nature of God, right? To help us. In Jesus, we have a God who is generous, who is loving, who is humble, and who longs to serve us, to serve humanity, especially the ones in brokenness, in poverty, in blindness. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And a lot of times we have this attitude of wanting to be served, right? But he came to serve. The famous speech by John F. Kennedy, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And although it sounds cliche, how many of you actually can apply this, let's say, through our church? Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Jesus came to serve, and we should also serve. And this question, we see how serious he is. What do you want me to do for you? The last question is also from John, and it's my favorite. It's the breakfast by the sea scene where Jesus meets Peter and he invites them to breakfast with fish. This is after the resurrection. And you all know this story where Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" This is a beautiful Jesus question, because he asks it a lot of us. Do you love me? Do you love me? Maria, do you love me? John, do you love me? Elizabeth, do you love me? Daniel? And a lot of times we just answer hastily and without reflection. Yes, of course we love you. Of course. I mean, who here, if Jesus would ask you if you love them, would say, "No, I don't," right? Do you love me? But the love that Jesus is talking about is a love that requires action. It's not a challenge. He's not challenging Peter. He's not challenging Peter as like a girlfriend would challenge her boyfriend. Like, "Do you really love me? Are we going to get married or what?" You know? Or a wife challenging a husband, or a husband challenging a wife. No, that's not the same kind of challenge. Do you love me? Do something for me. Show me that you love me, or tell me that you love me. You never tell me that you love me. You know? It's not that kind of a challenge. Rather, instead of a challenge, what Jesus is doing is a summoning. Jesus is summoning to action. It's a call to action. The question, "Do you love me?" is not a question that immediately requires you to say, "Yes, Jesus, I love you." The question requires you to get into action immediately. It's a summoning to action. It's a call to action. Regular contemplation on Jesus' questions. When you have time, just look through the Bible. Just revisit the Gospels and look at Jesus' questions. Return to them over and over again. And sometimes you just sit and you listen to Jesus as you're praying, and you're hearing Jesus ask you these questions. What are you looking for? What do you seek? What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And do you love me? And if you do, if you love me, feed my lambs. We live in an age of despair and all sorts of confusion, and we're looking for answers when we should really be listening to questions. And a question like the question, like a Jesus question, can really open your mind to see what is the will of God in your life. So next time you pray, I just urge you to just stop and listen to a Jesus question. And if you hear that question incessantly in your mind, all you have to respond is, "You are the answer I'm looking for." See, Pilate asked, what is the truth? And people were looking at Jesus in the face, and Jesus was asking them questions. And all this while, they just didn't realize that the answer was right in front of them. So to all your problems, to all your pain, through all your questions, he is the greatest answer that you're looking for. Amen.